This morning's sermon, Rock the House. Rock the House. You know, God rocks the house with purpose. And when God rocks the house, it will become important for us to grab on to something. Something to hold on to. Something to make our standing sure. Something to make sure that we survive God rocking the house. God isn't just doing things just for no reason. When God rocks the house, there's reason behind it. Some of you may feel that your house is being shaken. Some of you may feel that right now your lives are being turned upside down, that perhaps God is trying to get your attention. He's shaking you up. That's God rocking the house. He's not just doing it because he's a mean God. He's not just doing it because he doesn't have anything else better to do. God is shaking your house. God is moving you around. God is stirring you up because he has a reason behind it. And you need to be aware that God has not just quite yet turned you over to a depraved mind, turned you over to yourself. So pay attention. If your house is being rocked, grab hold to something. It's going to be important. We understand that when things are wrong, something has to be done. God doesn't turn a blind eye to sin. God isn't winking at your ignorance anymore. He's tired of hearing that you haven't read the Bible. He's tired of hearing that you won't assemble on the Lord's Day. He's tired of hearing you won't turn the other cheek. You won't love your neighbor as yourself. God's tired of hearing that. So now it's time to get some action. To shake up the house. To move you out of your comfortable seat. To get your attention. God is rocking the house. Many of us want a blind eye turn towards our erroneous ways. We figure they only involve ourselves. It's our business. Why can't people just stay out of business? Why can't God just worry about everybody else and let me worry about myself? Sin and pride are the signs of something broken in your life. Sin and pride are the signs that something is broken and that something that is broken needs to be fixed. God is very well aware of that. And he's moving and has moved towards causing what's wrong with you to be taken care of, to be fixed. So he's stirring you up. He's rocking the house. Where souls are concerned, the house gets rocked, and we must grab hold to the truth. That which is greater than ourselves, and that which is pure, and that which is from God. That's what we have to take a hold of. You see, sometimes when the house is rocked, we reach out for anything. The first thing that can steady us, that might save you, that might not. But if we reach for something that is sure, something that is true, something that is pure, that certainly will save us when the house is being rocked. We're being rocked because we're out of order. We're being rocked because we need repair. A point then comes in our lives where the house stops rocking. And we must decide whether to continue as we did before the rocking started, or we need to change as required to ward off the next house stirring, the next house rocking. Unfortunately, most of us have our worlds rocked, and soon as everything settles down and gets back to normal, we go right back into the same sin, right back into the same lives, right back into the same patterns that caused God to rock our house in the first place. We get in those situations where, okay, everything is calmed down. I can get back to doing what I'm used to doing. What you're used to doing is what got you into trouble. What you're not doing is what has got you into trouble. Don't you know God is trying to get our attention, church? Yes, trying to get your attention in your life? How many calamities will it take? How many bad omens and bad signs will it take? How many warnings does it take for the children of God to walk the straight and narrow path? How long will it be before you come out of the darkness and walk into the light? How long will you stop complaining and pointing to other people as your problem and not consider the judgment on yourself? You walk around as if a sign is painted on your heart. No prophets want it. So God rocks the house. Consider your ways, saints and friends. Do you seek God and live? Or do you dare him to come and shake your house? Let's talk a little bit about why God rocks the house. Why he shakes the house, as the NIV says. The King James Version says he will sift the house. God is not rocking the house because he's sadistic. He's not rocking the house because he's evil. He's not rocking the house because he enjoys misery. He rocks the house because of sin. He rocks the house because of pride and because it needs fixing. The house is broken. It is not serving its intended purpose. You are not serving your intended purpose. You are not doing as God has planned and called for. You're not where you need to be, and you need some encouragement to get you there. He rocks the house because of sin. In Amos chapter 9 and verse 8, just before our text, the Bible says, "Surely the eyes of the sovereign Lord are on the sinful kingdom." He says, "I will destroy it from the face of the earth, yet I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob," declares the Lord. He rocks the house because of sin, and he rocks the house because of pride. Doesn't the Bible tell us that pride comes before what? The fall. God's rocking the house. If you stay in that pride, that house will surely fall. And Amos also said in chapter 6 of his book and verse number 8, "The sovereign Lord has sworn by himself. The Lord God Almighty declares." What does the Lord Almighty declare, Amos? He declares, "I abhor the pride of Jacob. I detest his fortresses. I will deliver up the city and everything in it." You know, just because you think you have this wall, back in those days, that's what made a kingdom sure. What made a kingdom sure back in those days was how big of a wall they had. And if the wall had was tall and it went around the whole city, you felt secure in your city. And if your gates were strong gates and not even fire or stones or arrows could break through, you felt secure in those kingdoms. And God says, "I detest your fortresses. Your security is in the wrong place. So I'm going to have to shake up the fortress." God can knock down walls in some funny ways. God can knock your house down in all kinds of ways. We've seen him do it time and time again in the Bible, have we not? Yes. Seen him bring down the strongest city in its day called Jericho. And he called a little menial people, Israel, to walk around it once a day for 7 days. You all know the story? And then on the seventh day, they walked around it. Looked pretty foolish, didn't they? And I imagine the people on Jericho's wall, here they come again, walking around the city. But then all of a sudden, that seventh time, and the trumpets blew, there was a little rumbling going on in the wall and the city. And all of a sudden, God was rocking the house of the inhabitants of Jericho. Yeah, you think you got a great job? You think you got a great life? You think you have your health right now? Think you still got your good looks? You think you have all those things that are going your way? God has a way of rocking those things, getting your attention. And the health that was so prominent and so good for so long is no longer there. And now you have to start thinking about God. He has a funny way of getting our attention. It is pride that comes before the fall, the Bible tells us. And the fall is on its way, church. For Israel and Judah, the fall was getting very close. You see, they were a great nation. And they lived pretty well until the day they went into Egyptian slavery. And then God delivered them from that bondage and destroyed Egypt, called judgment on Egypt. And Israel crossed over the Red Sea. You know the story. They went over into Canaan's land. God blessed Joshua and the Israelites to conquer that land, but not completely, not how God told them to do it. So they started having troubles. The house was getting rocked again. got to the point eventually where the kingdom wound up splitting, one going its way and another going its way. And then they started falling into idolatry and not doing things God's way anymore. So God is saying, look, I've had enough. You all are going the complete wrong way. I'm going to raise up a nation and you will be taken into captivity and thrown to the farthest parts of the earth, all over the place. And this was about to happen. What was called the Assyrian captivity is about to come on Israel and Judah. God's really about to rock their world. They thought they were this great nation. They thought they had these great ways. They could never be destroyed. God was about to take all of that away. Their pride was about to be done away with. And after the Assyrians were done with them, he was going to bring in the Babylonians. And after the Babylonians were done with them, he was going to bring in the Medes and the Persians. And after they were done with them, the Greeks were going to come in and have their way with them. And after that, the Romans were going to come in and have their way. All these captivities are secondary to the captivity of our souls, the captivity of our hearts, and the captivity of our minds. Too many of us are in captivity today to the world and everything that the world has to offer that builds up our pride that comes before the fall. So God's rocking the house because of our sin and because of our pride. But mostly God is rocking the house because we are broken. We are broken and God needs to fix us. In Amos 9 verse 10, we see what is a dual prophecy. Here God says, in that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be. Here he says he will restore David's fallen tent because it is broken and needs repair. Yes, you're going into captivity, but a day is coming when I will restore you. Well. And that's exactly what he did. We're going to look at that in a couple of months when Nehemiah and Ezra helped to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and talk about how the church and how God's people need to be restored. The Church of Christ is a restoration movement. It is restoring things back to the ancient way. What we're trying to do is what God said in the first place. And not trying to do things the way men want to do them. That is the great appeal of this body of believers. So here we see that this dual prophecy talks about not only their return, but God's ultimate restoring of David's fallen tent on the day of Pentecost, when the church is established. So that's why God rocks the house. Because of sin, because of pride, and because we are broken. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're a lie. And the truth isn't in you. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means all of us have a need to have the house rocked. That means all of us have a need for God to get our attention that we might be saved. And while that house is being rocked, there's some things we need to do. Well, take note that something ain't right when your life is turned upside down. Otherwise, there would be no need for the rocking. So the first thing we have to do is hold on. Mm-hmm. That's our natural reaction, to grab hold of something. Something to steady us, something that won't cause us to fall, something that won't cause us injury. You know, in earthquakes, that's what you do. During disasters, tornadoes, that's what you do. We reach out for stuff. Shoot, don't even have to rock. Let us hear a loud noise. We're reaching for something to steady ourselves because we don't want to fall. We're not used to that. You know what you do when the house rocks, when you lose your balance, when you cannot continue as you wish, you have to hold on to something. You have to grab onto something to steady yourselves. Sometimes we reach out and grab the right thing. Sometimes we reach out and grab the wrong thing. Sometimes we don't even reach at all. We don't grab for nothing because we think we're strong. I can stand through this. I see it on the L when I'm riding the L. You know, our L ain't the smoothest ride you can have. How many of you have been on the L? Raise your hand. All right, so the L's going around. You can count the people in one car. Some folks, when it takes that turn, they're going to grab onto that pole and they're going to lean with it and they're going to come back. Some people, they don't want to grab nothing. I don't need to grab nothing, but you see them lean and they come back. Some people didn't expect the turn. They reached for anything. That didn't work, and they fall down. So when our house is being rocked, we have a similar reaction. We grab the right thing, or we grab the wrong thing, or we're not going to grab nothing at all. We're going to stand on our own strength. These are the ones that wind up lost. Those that grab the wrong thing, and those that don't grab anything at all. Israel was told to be still, to just hold on and witness their deliverance by God from the Egyptians. So the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no longer. What can we do, God? Can we fight this battle? Can we? No, just be still. Hold on. I am going to deliver. You see, and when the house is being rocked, there's work for God to do and there's work for you to do. The work for you to do is, while the house is rocking, is hold on.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully you got the truth. Hopefully you have the gospel. Hopefully you have Jesus. Hopefully you have those things that you will not fall. God has rocked the house many a time over this history of mankind. He rocked the universe into existence. He brought chaos into order. God said, let there be light. And there was. He said, let there be water, let there be land, let there be animals, let there be man. And all those things came into existence. God spoke to that which was not, and it became something. He rocked the universe. He rocked the world a second time with the flood to correct man's ways, which were evil all the time. God had repented that he had even ever made man because his thoughts were always evil. Never thinking about God, always thinking about himself. Never thinking about his neighbor, always thinking about what he wanted. God said, I am sorry I ever made him. I'm going to start over. And he rocked the world because something was broken and it needed to be repaired. He rocked the world of Jacob, the trickster. And Jacob was trying to get over by his own mind and by his own ability to trick people into certain things. And God had to rock his world. Changed him into Israel. And we know the rest of that story. Then Israel, as a nation, didn't do right and had the house rocked, finding themselves enslaved in Egypt one day. Then Egypt, the most powerful nation on the face of the planet, they got their world rocked. God shook them up and delivered the Israelites from their very midst. He rocked the world of all the ites. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, they had a land flowing of milk and honey. It must have been great to live in their day, but their sins overtook them. And God rocked that land and took it right underneath them and gave it to some other people, the Israelites. Israel still didn't do right after that. And brings us to this point now where Amos is warning them about the next house rocking to come. God says, I shall shake the house of Israel. In the New Testament, Jesus was rocking the house all the time. Daily, the Sanhedrin council was truly upset by him, always rocking the cart and stirring up troubles. Jesus rocked the house, overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple courts, rocked the house every time they tried to trick him into saying something was wrong. The apostles continue God's work of house rocking in the establishment of the church. You would have thought the world was being turned upside down if you lived in those days, in the midst of the events of that time. So that brings us up to today. Perhaps God is rocking your house right now. You need to grab onto something. You need to take hold with all your might. While God fixes what's broken, puts you in a place to be saved, to be successful, to have peace, and to be fulfilled. You need to hold on to a true thing. You need to hold on to a pure thing. You need to hold on to a greater thing than yourself. You need to hang on to a God-given thing. Don't try to stand on your own. Just try to show God who's boss. Don't try to grab onto worldly things. They're going to be sifted as well. Don't try to hang on to philosophies. Don't hang on to histories. Don't hang on to traditions. Don't hang on to your heritage. Don't hang on to this country. Don't hang on to religions. Don't hang on to creeds. Don't hang on to man-made doctrines. These things will fail. This is what brought the house rocking on in the first place, because something is broken and needs to be repaired. But then that time does come, saints. Then that time does come, friends, where the house is no longer moving, where the rocking is finished. God has shaken out what he wants out, and you're left with what's there. There comes a time when the house has been rocked. And now it's time for us to do something. Be smart and put your house in order. Put it back in design with God's design. Not how it was before, because that's why it needed to be rocked in the first place. Not how it was before, but how it's supposed to be. Put the house in order in the way that it's supposed to be. And you don't know what that way is. The only way you can know is by going to these scriptures. The only way you can know is by going to the God who rocked the house in the first place. Put it in the manner that it should be. Restore the house. Now the house has stopped shaking and things can return back to our limited control. God has done his part. See, if he left it up to you, you would never rock the house. You would never rock the boat. If you're like me, you don't like conflict anyway. You walk away from conflict. We don't want no house rocking. That's why I don't mind some folks that'll rock the house every now and then. You need a good house rocker from time to time, because otherwise things will stay the same. But then when the house is still, God has done his work. When we're in a state of fixing, time is up for us to do what we should have done. It's now time for something greater, something truer, something purer than ourselves to take over. And God is faithful to that task. We have failed to take the necessary steps. We have failed to follow the prescribed path. So what happens is we are overtaken by a restoring effort to put us back to where we should be. The picture is given of the reaper and the sower. The reaper is the bad thing. The sower is the good thing. And for most of our lives, the reaper overtakes the sower. Sin overtakes our good intentions. That's when God rocks the house and brings about a day when the sower will overtake the reaper. But that's only for those who held on to that which is true, that which is pure, that which is right while the house was being rocked. So that when the land has been stayed, the sower can overtake the reaper. Now, because you have grabbed hold to that which is true, that solid foundation that is found in God, you are able to proceed as God has decided in the first place. In Acts chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So we have to seek in order to restore the house, put it back in order. The same old status quo will not do. This will only lead to more rocking at a later date. And all too often that's exactly what happens to a lot of us. The house just gets rocked at different intervals all throughout our life, because we keep returning back to the same old pattern. The Church of Christ is a different pattern.
Yes, sir.
It's different than the religions that you're used to. It preaches the Bible and the Bible alone. It doesn't count on, it doesn't hold on to man-made doctrines. They're not pure. They're not true. They're not greater than ourselves. They came from ourselves. They're the ideas that men have of salvation. That will not save you in the end. Only that which is greater than yourself will save you in the end. God has purposefully rocked the house to get us to the point that we are today. Now, grab on to something. Now, this is the rock that human hands have nothing to do with. That's what we have to hold on to. It is unshakable, the Church of Christ. Not even the gates of hell will overtake it, can shake it, can disturb it. Not even death can destroy the body of Christ. Not even sin. For there is a sin that does not lead to death. That is the sin committed by God's faithful members of His church, of His body of Christ. So Amos, we hear your cries and we heed your warning. We recognize the impending judgment on our neighbors, those that we want to point at all the time and say how much sin they're in and how wrong they are. We recognize that, God. We can see that. And Amos, we heed your warning about the impending judgment on ourselves. For we recognize that all of us have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We recognize that the wages of sin is death. We recognize if we continue in this pattern, we won't have a relationship with you. We won't be saved. Heaven will never be our home. We recognize, God, that while this house is a-shaking, we might cry out to you for deliverance, but that day will be dark. Yes, sir. We'll go into the captivity of our enemies and nations that are all around us. And we recognize the warning, Amos, not to have no prophets wanted over our hearts and over our minds and over our souls. We openly invite you into our lives, God. We openly pursue and seek your word and your will in our lives. This is what Amos is trying to get across to Israel. And we are Israel today. And today, if you're not faithful, your house will be rocked.
Yes, sir.
Grab hold, church. This morning, our message of truth has put you on your feet for only a moment. And we must steady ourselves by this word of God that is being preached. God is sifting his creation, and to save that which is put into his Savior's hands, the chosen few of this world. The word sieve is used by Amos. And for those of you that have a colander at home, that's what it's called. You know, where you put the things in there and you shake it up and the little stuff falls through and some stuff stays on the inside. It's made for separating. And that's what God is doing. He's separating by his word. This morning, he is even separating by his word. You see, some will choose to do what God requires, and some will not, for they have pride, they have history, they have tradition, they have doctrine, but they're still being separated. And those that remain within God's hands, those that remain within the sieve, will be saved in the end. You see, you have to shake the sieve. You have to rock the sieve, and the unwanted pieces fall to the wayside, and the wanted pieces, they remain. You have been rocked with a meaning and a purpose, shaken to bring you back to order. If you weren't, you would have continued as you were. The house has been restored by God's work. It was Jesus who restored the fallen tent of David. It was Jesus who did the work that we ourselves could not do. It is Jesus who you must obey and follow to be saved in the end.
Yes, sir.
So if you're here this morning, by the hearing of this very word that is being preached, the word that is being preached that prophesies Jesus as the Savior of the world, you must believe that. Your belief must produce faith. That the faith that causes you to do something, to act in accordance to God's will and to God's way. An action that comes from hearing the word of God. That also causes you to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. This is what house rocking causes. Causes you to hold on to something true. You know, sometimes if the house rocks enough, you will shout out, "Oh God, save me! Don't let nothing bad happen to me. That's what happens when the house is rocked. Jesus is the Son of God is the confession that God wants to hear from your own lips. And he wants to hear it in front of men as a testimony to that very fact. Then he wants you to change your life. Repentance. That's not putting the house back the same way it was before we started, but that's putting the house in the manner and the order that God desires for it to be. So you have heard the word of God, and you must believe it. After believing it, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you must repent, change, turn your life around. And you also must be baptized, born again, for the remission of your sins. What does that have to do with being saved? Well, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. That the only way that you could see heaven, the only way heaven could be your home, is being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And I've come down to tell you this, that you might know it and be saved. That's what our house being stirred up is all about. So if you're here this morning, you desire to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that this morning. As the 3,000 souls did the day the Church of Christ was established, their world got rocked. They came to a realization they had just killed the Savior of the world. And something needed to be done. They had to grab on to something. Because what they've been holding on to wasn't sure. It let them down. It wasn't true. They failed. So they grabbed on to Jesus with all their might. And they held on till God stopped shaking that house. You can do the same thing this morning. For those of you that have been baptized for remission of your sins, God asks us to pray. So if you have a prayer request, you have that opportunity right now as we together stand and sing our song of encouragement.